Here's what we're going to do, it Ari Shaffir style. What he does is he starts recording his podcast and he doesn't tell you.
Oh, but you just told us.
Yeah, I know. But then he starts the episode when it gets funny.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, so he waits until funny shit's happening and then he edits it there. But I'm not one of these like work doing kind of guys.
So this is all the podcast.
Yeah, so it's already started. So if you're right. Listening right now, there is nothing preceding
what I just said. There's a lot of less funny than this stuff.
Yeah.
If you can imagine that.
Adam is gone for this episode, thank God.
We replaced him with a much funnier Jew.
Yeah.
Sam Morril is here.
Jew upgrade, thank you.
Yeah.
Good to be here.
You guys, here's what I think about the
Democrats. Oh, Adam's back, everyone.
Yeah.
Adam's back and he's being gay.
Yeah, he is.
Which is very on-brand.
He really stunk it up on the last episode.
I just looked at your shirt and I realized you're wearing the same shirt from last night.
Oh, yeah.
Because that means you got laid.
Oh, yeah. We got head, baby.
That's interesting because I've been wearing the same shirt for probably 7 days. And it means the exact opposite.
Yeah. Yeah, you got Martha's Vineyard and you got your little sea captain hat.
Yeah, dude. I'm on the Downeaster Alexa. The classic Billy Joel tune.
The Down Syndrome Alexa.
What possessed him to write that song? I'm gonna write a motherfucking, this is gonna be about boat dudes. That's what I'm gonna imagine. I'm a boat dude for
this
song.
Isn't he from Long Island?
Yeah.
You know, he's from the Bronx, actually.
Oh, is he?
No. He lives in Long Island. Yeah,
he's from the Bronx, really?
Yeah.
You could be
that.
A little Jew in the
he
Bronx.
Hasn't
he's,
a new por- song
he's Puerto
in,
Rican.
What, like 20 years? How long?
Billy Joel's Puerto Rican.
How long has he written a. When's the. He's Puerto Rican?
Yeah.
Wilhelmo Joel?
Yeah, I don't know.
Probably,
I don't know. He probably wrote the soundtrack for some Disney movie that no one saw.
Yeah, that's
one of those Disney movies where it's like House Fans by Disney. They just
that
like.
Avenue Q money? That's smart Broadway money?
Yeah.
I knew the kid who's. I think his dad like contributed to that and he ended up like murdering someone.
What the fuck?
He ended up murdering someone in Soho House and it was like the front page of the Post for like a year.
To Avenue Q.
And I was like, I used to play ball with that guy. He was always nice to me. I guess he's not that nice. He strangled someone to death in a bathtub.
That's crazy. Did you think that was always inside of him or maybe he like flipped? I always wonder that. Like, what if I murder somebody someday and then I'm like,
I
guess I was always that guy.
I guess you just don't know.
I feel like it could happen to anybody. Like something happens and then you get pissed off and you murder somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something happens. You methodically kill small woodland creatures, work your way up to human until you're, you know, comfortable. You start like a bunny rabbit and then like the whole deer. And
but
then,
that's not everybody because a lot of these forensic files, a lot of people, how many people just kill for money?
Yeah.
It's like that. And it's like, by the way, no one ever died. If you fall down a flight of stairs, it was a murder.
That's the most common motive.
No one falls down a flight of stairs.
That's the most common motive is like fucking, you know, financial shit.
And it's like I can't believe they think they're going to get away with it. There's always like, oh, we took out a life insurance policy 2 weeks ago.
Right.
And then grandma just fell.
He went to the gun store and the insurance and then got an insurance policy. And then our grandma had 18 shots in the back of her head.
You say who falls down the stairs, and that literally happened to my grandmother's friend.
Really?
Her lifelong friend. She went to nursing school with her in the 40s. They've known each other
what
since
what was
like
nursing
the,
school back then? It was just like,
I don't know, how to like keep band-aids away from black people. Just make sure they don't get their hands on them. It'll dirty them up. Back then, they reused band-aids.
Yeah,
too.
Those were black people band-aids.
Yeah.
After white people got to go.
Yeah,
you sent them to the.
But yeah, no, she had known her for like her whole life. It was her best friend, and her best friend was over like visiting at their house, and she had to go upstairs to like go to the bathroom or something. And so she's going up the stairs and like just misses her grasp and she's like, whoop, whoop. And then in front of my grandma falls backwards and just dies. Just splits her fucking head open.
In front of her?
Yeah, blood pouring out of her head.
Holy shit.
I was about to make a joke until you said blood pouring out of the head.
Now my grandma luckily doesn't listen to Cumtown. So in front of her friend dying. Oh yeah, it was a fucking nightmare.
That's awful.
Yeah, like she was in the hospital and then the family was like kind of blaming my grandma and grandpa.
She left out the banana peel, you know?
Yeah. They're like, you just couldn't give up those damn bananas, could you? You're 87 years old. You don't need to eat those bananas all day long.
Have you guys ever seen someone actually slip on a banana peel? It's one of the funniest things on earth.
I don't think I've seen
I've that. Witnessed it. It was the best thing.
I saw a guy. I was doing that Bethesda Hyatt show, that Kurt Shackelford show. Mm-hmm. Me and Joe Robinson are out in the lobby talking, and there's like this guy who's like he's like a big dude. He's a middle-aged dude. He's probably like 6'3", like, you know, 300-some pounds. And I just hear this like awful like,
kind of
noise.
No.
And me and Joe look over, and they have these like marble stairs with like an edge like this, like a fucking 90-degree edge on each step. And I look over, and this guy's just face down. He looks like he's laying on the stairs. And it like takes a second. We're like, what the fuck? And then we realize he just tripped and went directly. And so I run over to him, and like, you know, I'm like, sir, are you okay? And he's just out cold.
Holy
shit. He's not responsive. And I, you know, I hold his head and like, you know, go to roll him over. I'm making sure his neck doesn't shift at all. You know, like I know what the fuck I'm doing, but
it is kind of that is like the classic comedy where the guy's too fat to pull over.
Well, I start lifting him, and as I, it's almost like someone like, you know, peeling duct tape off something. You just hear the skin in his head is peeling off the step. There's a deep groove, and blood just starts pouring out. I'm like, okay, whoa, you know, I just like
place him back.
And as I'm like placing him back, he like comes to, and he's like, you know, because he's making the sound a guy makes when he's knocked the fuck out, which is that like, you know, where their breathing's all fucked up. And then he comes to, and he's like, you know, he doesn't know where he is and shit. I'm like, do you know what day it is? You know, and blah, blah, blah. And he like asked his name, and then paramedics came and shit. But it was fucking Jesus like, Christ. Yeah, it was frightening to see that.
I saw a crazy one once. This is insane. I was like walking just in New York City. I was in sixth grade. I'm walking down the street to get on the bus, and an old lady jumps out of a building and lands probably 5 feet in front of me.
Holy
and
shit.
Flat dead. And it was like, that made me think of it because she just like, your mind plays tricks on you.
That's a way better story.
No, but just the idea that like they're just flat. Flat down.
I saw a guy that needed 4 stitches and then like had ice cream later that night. Yeah.
Well, it's like you think you're in like on a movie set. Your brain's like protecting you from the trauma. Right. So I was just like, oh, I'm in like Punked.
Yeah.
That was
a
popular show when I was in sixth grade.
Yeah. Still a popular show.
It's great.
So she just fucking, did she like explode? Or was
no,
she just...
it was, that's what was so fucked up. It's just, she just like, it was like splat. Oh, and you just, and you heard like the, and she was not instantly dead. I remember she was like, oh. And I was like, ah, shit. So someone got her a blanket, and I was like, I don't think that's going to do it. I don't think the blanket's going to do it. Mm-hmm. But,
and then what happens is a bunch of clowns came in one of those tiny ambulances, and they get the stretcher out, and then they put the stretcher upside down. They get tied up in the stretcher.
Well, I remember being, this is the worst part of it. I remember being like, I was young. I was a little traumatized.
Yeah, of course.
And I remember calling a friend of mine, and his mom was kind of crazy. Mm. And I was like, oh, I'll talk to him. It'll make me feel better. And I called him, and she picked up, and he wasn't home. And she just talked for like 20 minutes straight. She was like one of those self-involved, like awful people. Where she was just like, and then Martin did this, and then we did this. And then I was like, she's like, how was your day? It was like 20 minutes in the conversation. I was like, I just saw someone die. And she's like, all right, well, Elliot will be back shortly.
Oh my God, dude.
It was like, nope, no sympathy.
That's insane. I remember one time I used to hang out at my friend's house after school when I was in like junior high or whatever. And my mom worked at like a daycare center, so she'd be at, you know, work till like 7 p.m. You know, I just wouldn't hear from her. And it was just like abnormal to hear from my mom like in the afternoon. And I was over at my friend's house one time, and my mom calls, like, you know, my friend's mom is like, yeah, your mom's on the phone. And I like pick up the phone. I'm like, hey, what's up? And she was like, I need you to meet me at home right now. And I'm like, why, what's up? You know, I'm worried that I'm in trouble. Like, my first thought is like, she found the pornography on the computer. I'm going to jail. She found the pornography.
It was a good run.
Yeah.
It's like that scene in Blow.
She's like, I just need you to come home now. And I was like, why can't you tell me what's about? She's like, just come home. And so I hang up the phone, and I'm like consulting with my friends. I'm like,
oh my God,
fuck, dude, she found, there's got to be porn on there. Like, she found porn on my computer. I'm like, fucked. It's like, she knows I'm masturbating, which is illegal. You know, I'm never gonna be allowed to jack off again. And you know, I'm like so worried about it. I'm like sick with worry, because like, why the fuck is my mom home from work? You know, right. Like now I'm like, fuck. And then I get there, and she's in tears, and I'm like, oh, this is gonna be so bad. And she's like, Erica was driving home, and she was T-boned by a truck, and she's dead. And Erica was this, like, you know, 19-year-old woman that, like, worked at the daycare center she worked at, who was always, like, super cool to me.
Shit.
And And like, I was legitimately sad about it afterwards, but at the time I was like, thank God. Like, so much relief. I was like, boys, guess who's still jacking off?
By the way, my Erica friends, got teabagged by a car.
She's dead.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank God my mom didn't find those pictures of Sable topless from WWE.
She was great. WWE Divas.
Yeah. I used to beat off to a Newgrounds game where you could like put clothes on Britney Spears. It was like this Britney Spears nude. You could drag the underwear off and then you could beat off to it.
The Britney Spears fakes were great. Mm-hmm. I loved where she's like smiling so big and it's just like some guy with a 14-inch dick is fucking her. She's just like her headshot. Fucking promotional.
The fakest porn ever. I love those, dude. Like the fake Sarah Michelle Gellar shit. She had massive tits with her face on it. You're like, all right. I think this is fake.
It was
so easy
to beat off as a child, dude.
Oh, dude.
Especially the guys that make fakes, and then they make like the shitty fakes, and then they put their like watermark on the bottom.
Yes.
That's like Brian's Nudes. geocities.com. Check me out, guys.
When I was in sixth grade, I had a porno magazine that I made and distributed to my high school. To my school. It's completely true. It was called Play Amigo Magazine. And a friend and I is 100% true.
It's called Play Amigo?
It was a great run while it lasted. You know what happened? It was my friend.
That sounds like a Wii game. where you interact with some 5-year-old Hispanic boy. It's Play Amigo. Teach him how to read.
It was great.
It's like Dora for boys.
It'd be like 6 pages, and it would just be me finding websites of like that type of shit and just printing it on my dad's printer. Color pages. I was using his money.
That was so much ink.
Yeah. So much ink. And I would sell it for like $6 an issue. And there was a couple kids that would buy every issue. And I got busted by I had a very gay teacher named Mr. Jones who passed away. He was a great guy.
Yeah.
And I remember he found the porn one day and he was like, I'll just say it was lingerie. he was such a good sport.
That's hilarious.
So we never got taken down. I walked away from the
game. I remember someone's brother got caught like looking at porn because he was doing the same thing where he printed out the pictures and like the printer ran out of ink while he was printing out porn. So he's just like forgot about it, and then his mom like replaced the ink in the printer, and the printer's like immediately. Just like a woman's pussy getting fucked.
Just the bottom half.
Oh, good lord. Yeah.
Oh, we got a virus, mom. Yeah.
And you know, it's funny. You think like, oh, well, adults know all what that is, but like, people didn't really like suck dick or eat pussy until like the 80s or 90s. I'm serious.
Sucked and fucked, dude.
No, they didn't suck dick. True, no, really? It is true.
Hell really? Yeah, dude.
Yeah, in like the 50s. I mean, if you go back to the 50s, that was like...
No, they were sucking and fucking.
They were sucking dick, dude. The whole Kinsey thing, come on.
That was later. That was in the 60s. That was during like free love and stuff. Like 50, like older, yeah. I guarantee your grandparents...
Like old Greek orgies and stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Like 300 BC.
300 years ago. But I'm talking about an American culture and like conservative America and like the first half of like your grandparents, your granddad probably never got put his dick in your grandmother's mouth. Maybe when he was in the war.
I don't believe
no,
that.
No, maybe when he was in the war over, you know, seas and he, you know, got sucked off by somebody over there. But like, you know, you don't put your dick in your wife's mouth. That was like the...
In Lover's Lane, when they're fucking necking, they get a malt and then they go fucking over an overpass and they're fucking...
Those people didn't
making out.
Yeah,
you don't think they're getting their dick sucked?
Uh-uh.
That's a nat... You're definitely getting beaten off.
No.
What?
Yeah.
I think I'd have bored them back then. Yeah, at least tried. I think
they're getting beaten off, dude.
Nope.
Well,
I disagree.
We'll have to table this.
It was only P&V.
No, dude. They're in T-Birds? You don't think they're getting sucked off in a T-Bird?
No.
How are you going to fuck in those little cars, dude?
They're not getting sucked off, I'm telling you. Conservative 50s America. Look, I've read every one of Bill O'Reilly's books. He talks about it. He said, I've never fucked. And it's because of the culture. It has nothing to do with me.
I wanted to do fucking... We'll have to... I'm going to do some historical research.
I
feel like I've seen porn from like black and white porn.
Yeah, of course. Obviously, people that produce porn were doing that.
Right,
but I mean like contemporary American
culture. Yeah, norms.
I didn't say, I'm not saying that blowjobs didn't exist.
Right.
I'm saying like the average American...
It wasn't the norm.
Yeah, an average... Like the same way that most people don't fuck their wife in the ass these days.
What?
I mean, everybody fucks in the ass.
I'm not a big anal sex guy.
No? Yeah. I'll throw it in.
It's just one of the... Like, I bet it's like pissing on your girlfriend's face.
Ah, okay.
That I like. But, yeah. I mean, when she's running her mouth.
Sure, I've done it. I've done it, you know. But I mean, sure. Is it a thing that happens all the time? No.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay. Well, the one thing I want to talk about more about getting caught beating off. Because because my mom, I grew up in this utopia where my fucking immigrant parents didn't use computers. So I was going fucking crazy, dude. I was like beating off to the strangest shit. And the first thing my mom found was the first time she learned fucking computers, I was on some vile shit. I just got a call from my mom and she was like, someone was on crackwhoreconfessions.com. Like, what are these crack whores? I was like, oh, I don't know, mom. It's probably Nick and George. Just throw my little brothers under the bus.
Yeah, yeah.
It was just like,
oh, that happened to me. I was like, me and my friends are going to the pool, and my friend Zach's stepdad is like, so Nick, what's up with these Playboy magazines?
Yeah.
I was like, excuse me? And he was like, all these Playboy. And then Zach's like, oh yeah, those are mine. And I was like, what the fuck? And he's like, oh, Zach, you piece of shit. He blamed me.
He said it was my fault.
Luckily, he copped to it at the last minute, but...
Yeah, that's I was beating off to some vile shit. Dude, LimeWire, did you ever beat off
LimeWire?
Yeah, it was
a fucking risk.
You
at least now you have the thumbnail and you know what you're going into. Those you spend like 30 minutes downloading
and it's
and God
porn.
Knows what it's gonna be. Yeah.
I used to download a still from the movie Swordfish, Halle Berry, which was like tanning and drops. So I used to download that.
It was shocking that she did that.
I would download it, beat off to it, delete it. And then an hour later, like, downloaded it.
Yeah. I feel like a real hacker when you were doing that. You were just like,
It was like the movie Swordfish.
Yeah, that's what that movie's about. It's about hacking while you get your dick sucked.
that's literally.
Yeah. I like he has trouble hacking while the blowjob is going on.
Yeah.
That's the only scene I remember.
And the whole time you're jacking off, you're like, David Justice didn't know what he had. Didn't know how lucky he was. Yeah, I liked, she was in the rotation for sure. I'm trying to think who else made.
There was a specific picture of Salma Hayek with only one tit out.
Wow!
Did you guys ever see that one?
No.
But
that might have been a fake, but it was a very good fake. Salma Hayek was a big.
She was big.
Huge.
From Dusk Till Dawn was huge.
Oh, I used to beat off a lot to Miss September 1980.
Really?
Yeah.
I did like the old, like you would come across like a 1960s. And they just had the cone titties with like giant nipples. Something about that. You don't see that anymore. Maybe the bras were.
Not a fan.
Forming them that way. It was like a fun. And you also had some very, very.
There was this shitty old comic in Austin one time that I go into the Velveeta room and he's just drunk. And he's like an Austin staple. This guy, like, Carry On. Everyone loves him. I don't know why I'm shitting on him. But it was very much a thing where, like, for 45 years, he was the only comedian in Austin.
Right.
So it's like, how funny is this guy? You know, he's not really. You know?
Right.
And he's just drunk and he's in the Velveeta room. And he's like, you know, back then the girls, they just had these big old pair of just like torpedo shaped tits, these big old titties that torpedo shaped like the fins on a big old Cadillac, these big old tits, and you could see them, and then the bra be swinging in the wind, these big old tits, and it's like, what the fuck are you talking about? You fucking retarded old man. This is the shit you beat off to 400 years ago. Yeah. You know, there's no punchline coming. You're just drunk.
Him on stage?
Yeah, this is him on stage.
No.
I thought he was making conversation.
Ladies and gentlemen, the pride of Austin.
Yeah.
He just has a stroke up there.
Yeah. No, there was this other guy, Art. There was all these guys from the 80s back again when nobody was doing comedy.
Yeah.
And so,
you
know.
And you watch it and you're like, oh,
yeah.
God.
And all these guys were friends with Bill Hicks because, you know, he was around back then.
Right.
They sound like him.
Yeah, there was
and
this guy.
Kinnison, they're like, that devil.
Kinnison's great. Kinnison's great.
Louder Than Hell is one of the best albums ever.
Yeah.
I love Kinnison.
I'm not even.
What I don't
so
love
many
is
people
the Kinnison
stole.
Clones.
Yeah. I'm not even talking about the lower level guys. I'm talking about the people that were legitimate like open micers that wouldn't last at 6 months if they started now.
Right.
Who populated the scene? There was this guy Art Mack that I guess had been around forever, and Bryson was just waiting in the foyer of the Velveeta room one time, and Art like stands there next to him. And, you know, they're just standing there next to each other awkwardly. And Bryson's not going to start conversation with him because he's, you know, really know the guy. And, like, Art's, like, waiting for something to say. And they stand there for, like, 20 seconds. And then Art looks around. And he goes, used to be girls who came here to fuck the comics. And then he gets nothing on that and just leaves.
He thought he was really going to bro down with
him. Yeah.
Bummer.
Fuck, it would be nice if more... women just explicitly came to fuck comics.
Yeah. You fucking got laid last night.
Yeah, that's true. That literally did happen to
she
me.
She literally walked up to you and said, do you want to come home with me?
Yeah. And I was like, yeah, all right, we'll do it. That was, it was, yeah, it was, that's true, but maybe more of that. Yeah, if it could happen literally every time.
This is a good time. It's a good time to be a comedian.
It yeah, is we're going to take right. Cometown on the road, and if you want to fuck Stavros,
yeah.
You can pay me, well, you give him the money, but he has to give it to me.
So, you're fucking turning me out, dude.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm like, oh, I can't wait to fuck this girl. I just go in, it's like four dudes. Yeah, time to fuck Stav.
I'm just getting a manicure with the money.
In the same room, though.
What I tell you, with an apple in your mouth. It's like, I wonder who's hanging in there.
Yeah, he's my little piggy pie. Don't fuck him up now. I gotta sell that ass all week, baby. Daddy need his toenails back.
Oh, it's like the scene in Deliverance. You just come in and save him with an arrow.
Yeah.
How fucked up is that scene?
Oh, the worst. Fuck. We could probably pimp out Adam for real, though. He's a cute little twink.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
He's your Phil Hanley?
Yeah, he is our Phil Hanley.
Nice little twink.
Yeah, we're in D.C. This is a road episode.
That's why Adam's not here. We didn't really kick him off the podcast.
No, we haven't made fun of him.
He's back home. You know, just experiencing, you know, dating life in New York. Wow, yeah. That's crazy.
It's so hard.
Wow, these girls you have to interact with.
Yeah, some beautiful woman with a septum piercing and double T titties is asking Adam to hog tie her right now, and he's going to find a way to complain about it when we get home.
I don't know how to do this.
Shut up.
You fucking asshole.
Shut the fuck up, Adam.
You guys got the good recipe for a hit podcast. You guys got the good dynamic, and then you got the guy you hate. That's all you need.
Yeah, we did, you know, I was explaining to someone, we did kind of the reverse Carl Pilkington thing. What you do is you normally, a good podcast is you get two guys that are smart and then a dumb guy to beat up on. But we did the reverse. We got two dumb guys and we make him fun of him for being some kind of book reading faggot. Or whatever.
Whenever he starts saying facts, we call him gay. Yeah. That's what we do. That's how this podcast
works. Throw Tabasco on him. Yeah. Shut up.
And that's what people really want, dude. Yeah. That's what got Trump in office, which I cannot be more happy about.
Yeah, you totally flipped.
For pussy.
I didn't vote for him, but I am happy he won.
Yeah.
Which is the best, you know?
Yeah.
When something good happens and you didn't have to do any work for it.
I was furious for Tuesday, and then I woke up and I'm like, yeah, it's going to be all right.
Yeah.
I mean, I was blackout drunk also, and that is not a good thing for when something unexpected happens.
Well, my girlfriend the last week has been like, oh, well, what if I have to get an abortion? It's like, you'll be fine. We live in New York City.
We have a staircase. It's going to be okay.
Yeah.
I've been working on my stomach punches recently.
Yeah, yeah. You know I know karate. Karate, it's illegal, actually, for me to not know karate now.
Now that Steven Seagal is Secretary of Defense, just
in Russia.
Yeah.
He has Serbian citizenship, too.
Does he?
Yeah.
Really? How many citizenships does that guy have?
Everywhere but the United States. Japan, Serbia.
Serbia seems like a rough place to live.
I know.
Weave lives there. That's another guy that is going to be on the podcast who is a literal Nazi. There's a gigantic swastika tattoo on his chest.
Really? Yeah. I'm glad that we went on together.
Yeah. Well, I want to have him on with Adam. I think it would be a funny bit to like just constantly apologize for Adam speaking. Insist that he be nicer to our guests.
We invited this Nazi.
Yeah. Weave's a guy that was like, he was like, you know, he's been a troll on the internet for like a decade or longer than that, like 15 years. But back when like the internet was like kind of new, he was like a guy that was actually getting some, you know, notoriety for being a troll. And he would like fucking lie to the New York Times and shit. And they would print this kind of stuff and, you know, things that he said, they were just lies. And he was a guy that like no problem like calling in bomb threats to the FBI or whatever. And when they show up at his house, he's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And then gives him like a fake name and then they just arrest him for that. He just didn't care. He's like never cared. So like he is legitimately a Nazi now, but it's also like if you've been aware of him long enough, it's like I don't think he's legitimately anything because he's constantly, you know, 2 years ago he was a Mormon. He was like 100%. I'm a Mormon. I think that's
a big right turn.
Yeah. Well, he's like. I don't see how you can read the Bible and not think that Jesus and Socrates were the ultimate trolls and they invented troll. Like he has all these bizarre. You know.
Right.
I mean, there's no line between.
So
you can't tell when the irony starts with him. So even for him to go to the extent of having a swastika tattoo on his chest, I think a part of him is like, yeah, it's funny.
Yeah, it's the biggest troll.
Yeah, he just doesn't. But he was in 2007 or 2008 when the iPad came out. Whenever the iPad came out, AT&T launched the iPad. And the way it worked is you buy it at like the AT&T store, and then you would go home, turn on the iPad. And when you turned it on, it would go to AT&T's website, and the serial number of the iPad that you bought was sent to AT&T's website through a hidden form on the website, and then that's how it downloaded all your contact information.
Right, right.
Now, the form's hidden, but it still exists in, like, you know, the post data sense of the server. So some guy, like, saw that and, like, just wrote a quick script that runs, because all the serial numbers for iPads were sequential. Just,
so this is the guy?
No, this is a different guy.
All right.
This guy wrote a script that, you know, just runs every sequential serial number for the iPads and pulled the entire AT&T customer database off the website.
That
and
is
they notified.
Bad.
They notified. It's not bad. It's just it's a flaw that AT&T left open on
but
their website.
But he's a hacker, though, right?
Yeah, debatable. And this isn't Weave. This is the other guy that found
it. Right, right.
So they
notified. Debatable that he's a hacker, though.
Because I don't. I mean, yeah, he's a hacker, but is that illegal? Is that's the question.
It stole their right? information?
It would be like if you walk past a house and somebody, you know, had their social security number in the window of the house, and you said, hey, your social security number is just displayed in that window.
But he created a script to hack it, though. It's not like...
It's not hacking it because he's not breaking the system. The system was already fucked up. If you could put anything in
but
there.
But no, it's not like just say... Anyway, what's the story?
Well, it doesn't matter because the U.S. Court of Appeals overturned the decision that it was hacking.
It is hacking.
It's not.
Oh, okay. What's the
story? Vacated the judgment.
Okay.
Or so whatever. So the story is the guy that found it, he tried to notify AT&T. AT&T blew him off, and then he went to Weave to publicize it. Weave publicized it. Weave got arrested, and we spent 2 years in prison.
Holy shit. Wow. Really?
Yeah. Well, the federal government already hated him.
Right.
You know, but...
So they just got an excuse to put him away.
So he was waiting for trial.
Al Capone on taxes.
He was waiting for trial.
You don't have a lot of options in prison. You kind of got to join that Aryan Brotherhood.
Cat. So he was waiting, you know, awaiting trial, and he became this, like, Occupy... You know, poster boy, because the Electronic Frontier Foundation was, like, you know, in his corner, and all these Occupy people were in his corner. And it was so funny to me, having, like, known all the fucked up shit we've had done in the prior, to see, like, Occupy people being like, yeah, this guy's, like, you know, he's like a good guy, he's like a hacker or whatever. And it's like, yeah, no, that's not the guy whose corner you want to be in. Yeah. And yeah, I don't know. So how much of an actual Nazi he is. I mean, he is, you know, if you're saying that shit and people are believing it, then I guess it doesn't matter whether you're
just
a
funny
Nazi
sentence. How much of an actual Nazi?
Are
you a cash Nazi?
Yeah. It's like,
are you like a Monday through Thursday Nazi?
Yeah. Weekend Nazi warrior.
Yeah. So I don't know. The debate right before he got the swastika tattoo. The debate was like, is he really a Nazi, or is he just trolling?
That's a big commitment.
Yeah. That is the ultimate troll, isn't it?
No, but you know,
you got to go to a special place to get that tattoo.
Yeah, who's giving out swastika tattoos?
I still think he's so fucking funny, though. Like, I clicked on his website, his, like, a live journal, which I haven't read in a while, and... the first art, like, you know, it's all these articles he's written about white supremacy. And then the first article I see is like, it just starts and it's like, it was 2011 was the first year I became a believer or a believer. Justin Bieber has to be one of the greatest recording artists of our generation. It's like written this thing about why he legitimately loves Justin Bieber, and he lays out, like, explains why he's great. And it's like, that's fun. It's funny.
It's so funny.
It's so funny because it's juxtaposed with all this, like, Nazi hate speech. Yeah.
And like, that is legitimately hilarious.
Yeah. Damn. He's also, too, Weave is like 5'2". He's harmless, you know, as like a physical thing. So it's, you take it all.
He probably has guns.
He is a literal troll.
Yeah, he is. He's quite literally a fucking troll. Sam Hyde, same thing. Sam Hyde's like an alt-right guy now or whatever.
Yeah.
He's gotten, like, you know, that's been pretty solidified throughout Trump's campaign.
For sure.
But I also think Sam Hyde is, like, one of the funniest people.
He's pretty funny.
Yeah.
But it's, I don't know. Yeah, it's hard when you know that I don't know what his intentions are. Like, those shit, when he's mocking women in this shit and it's like, oh, well, he's just, like, a fucking absurd, crazy dude. It's like, all right, whatever. But then when you know, like, oh, he probably, like, hates women.
there's like a different, it adds a little bite when you know where the, what his fucking, like I'm specifically, there was $1 million extreme sketch where it's like, he's just mocking some woman for wanting to like date a successful man because she hasn't worked on herself or something. He's just making this, they're just bullying these women who have no idea. And they're real women. It's not like a sketch.
What do that, the wall sketch?
Yeah, where it's like a fake dating show and he's just like bullying a woman.
The $1 million extreme like, show World Peace on Adult Swim.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's just like these guys, $1 million extreme. So they're from, you know, they were always like these weird, funny.
They're like
internet
a 4chan
dudes.
Sketch group. And like that informed their sense of humor, and then their output is also like, you know, in line with that kind of stuff. But like Sam got popular, like at least what you could call mainstream popularity in regard or like with regards to the other stuff that he does. And when a couple of years ago he like lied his way into like a TEDx talk,
yeah.
And he like drove to Drexel University and he had this like bizarre speech he did wearing like children's like Halloween costume armor.
Yeah, it was really funny.
It's really fucking funny.
He just faked a whole, and these people were asking him questions. He said nothing.
Yeah.
Like everything was just like double speak and like.
Yeah, it was all like, we got to get to Africa to teach these kids JavaScript.
People were like, what are you talking? Yeah, the questions were literally like, what was the point of this?
Yeah, yeah.
It was great.
He starts like making himself laugh while he's doing it and he just sort of turns away and like just starts slapping his own face. It's really funny. But he's also like an alt-right guy, I guess.
Yeah. Anyway, we are in D.C. And
home of the alt-right.
Home of the alt-right now. Does anybody, you know, I feel like, do we have any funny D.C. fuck stories? You know, Nick, you had a pretty good one the last time you were here. We were talking about it in the car.
Oh, I guess, yeah. I guess, yeah, I was here a couple years ago, and I was on. I like was just trying to find a place to stay using Tinder.
And literally then, trying to fuck for shelter.
Yeah, no, I mean, I changed my Tinder bio to say that, and then some girl was like, oh, yeah, I'm fine with that or whatever. And then we met up in the middle of the day, and she's like, well, we can't really go to my apartment. And I'm like, you know I don't have a place to go. Like, made that clear. And then, yeah, we
and
ended
she
up.
She barely spoke English, right?
No, she spoke English. Oh, okay. Come on. She was Chinese, but she spoke English. Yeah.
We was ended she up cute?
She was all right, and we ended up fucking in the woods next to Rock Creek Parkway.
Woods?
Not even, yeah.
That didn't even solve your problem.
No. Yeah, no, it didn't. Yeah, it's so, like on the side of the road, like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Like showed up to the improv, and like blood all over my hands.
Yeah, she's on her period. Yeah, yeah.
Oh my god.
On his hand and his jeans. He had to borrow jeans.
Yeah, well, I had to borrow jeans for the next show, the next night, because I got to the club and I forgot I was wearing basketball shorts. I'm like, oh, fuck. And I had to borrow Tito Garza's pants.
Tito was just coming to watch the show.
Yeah, yeah. And so he had to sit there without pants on.
What? In the crowd?
Yeah, because I had to borrow his pants to wear on stage.
Oh, man. Well, that's a good friend.
Yeah. He's no, Tito dude. Came through.
Tito's a good dude. Have you ever had any funny fuck stories here, Sam? Have you come to DC?
I've been here a few times. I'm trying to think.
You know, and open it up geographically if you have any good ones.
A good fuck story. Well, this one's bad. I probably shouldn't say it. I will. Good fuck story. Recent.
No, it doesn't have to be recent. It could be a classic. It could be a classic Sam Morril fuck story.
Well, the worst one I've actually talked that you've heard this one before, but it's a fun one for your cum town,
for the cum boys,
for
yeah,
the cum
yeah.
boys.
Yeah,
one of the worst ones is I met this really cute girl online, and
oh yeah, this is
yeah
a great
you
story.
Know this one
yeah,
yeah, yeah. It's terrible. And we had a good date, and then I made out with her, and that was kind of it, and I never heard from her again. I thought nothing of it, and then one day she just texts me, where are you? And I was like, I'm in Union Square with my parents.
Yeah.
What are you up to? And she's like, I want to see you and I want to get freaky with you. And I was like, all right.
So you hadn't heard from her for like
I haven't
month.
Heard from her a couple months. It was a Friday afternoon and everything about it was a little shady. Like I felt like it didn't seem right.
Mm-hmm.
And then I called her to make sure it was her, because there's that part of your brain where like someone's trying to rob me. This is too good to be true. And I called and she's like, it's me, I'm drunk, I've had a bad week at work, I want to fuck. And I was like, okay, sold. That's all I need. And I lied to my mom about an audition to get out of there, which really hurt a little bit. To see her face. Like, go get him, Sam.
Which an audition is still a kind of a shitty reason to like abandon your family. Anyway. I'm really hoping I get this Reebok commercial.
It's more important than my love for you guys. Yeah. So I leave, and I remember like everything about it was a little fishy. I remember I text Rachel Feinstein, like, here's the address in case anything happens to me. Yeah. Which is how you know you're walking into something bad. Because I was with Rachel early that day, and I was just like, and she's like, why do you have to do this? And I was like, well, you know why. I mean, but a woman doesn't understand that type of urge.
There's a lot of things women don't understand. Fucking the presidency, you know,
math. Yeah. So
everything except the space program, which apparently they invented. I mean, yeah. Do you know those WOCs?
It was all.
So I go over there. I get off the train, and it's a different apartment than when I dropped her off. But I don't think much of it because, you know, it's like it's New York. People sublet, but it's like a luxury apartment in Williamsburg. I walk in. I'm like, let's have a drink downstairs, and she's like, no, let's just go upstairs. I have scotch, and I was like, that's weird. Yeah. So we go up. Not like there's just a couch and a bottle of scotch. That's all there is in the apartment. I was like, this feels very pornographic. So we start kind of making out a little bit. She starts sucking my dick, and I down a couple scotches, and then she's like, we should go to my bedroom so my roommate doesn't catch us. And I was like, all right. And then she's like, no, I want him to catch us. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
That sounds like the opposite of what you just said.
Yeah.
But she's like, yeah. Well, and then I'm like, fine. We go to the bedroom. It's a guy. Yeah. It's a guy roommate.
Yeah.
I don't even know what, basically he's been there the whole time. I find out a second later. Cause
Jesus Christ.
We're in her bedroom. She, thanks for pretending to be surprised by this. Stav knows this story because I've told it on stage before. So the door just swings open. She's going down on me, and it's like a scary looking guy. He's jacked. He's tatted up. He's staring, and I'm kind of like, can I help you?
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you say? Right? I'm still in her mouth.
Yeah.
And he's like, I was like, well, he's like, we gonna do this? And I was like, what? He's like, are we gonna fuck her? And I was like, I'm not. That's not my thing.
He just wanted to fuck her with you.
Yeah, that was their thing. That was their thing, apparently. And I'm like terrified. I'm kind of like, being confused hard is a fucking bad. Yeah, to be scared while you're hard is a bad feeling.
I feel like that's kind of what it feels like to be mentally disabled.
They are always hard. Yeah, I've noticed.
It's to be coming and scared at the same time.
They're like, ah, help!
Where am I?
So I basically just, you know, I pull my pants up and I was like, all right, well, this has been real. I was scared. I grabbed my backpack and I ran out, and I remember walking through McCarran Park, and my mom called to see how the audition went, and I was like, it was not good. But and then I called Rachel, and she was like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Why would you do that? And I was like, but you know why?
Yeah,
obvious. I regret it.
Absolutely.
You should have done it. I mean, it's not like you were going to touch balls or whatever.
You might have.
No, you just spit roasted.
It felt so creepy. Like, that's one of the things I did with like a guy from when I was like in like high school. But it's not something you do when you're an adult with a stranger. It's scary.
Yeah.
You're scared for your safety. And the fact that they already lied to me. And then also, I don't know. Everything about it was fucking terrifying.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I don't know. I've never fucked a girl with another dude. I feel like any audience is too much. I just can't have anybody watching me fuck.
Yeah.
I don't know. Have you ever double teamed anyone?
No, never.
Really?
Yeah.
I feel like when you're fucking alcoholic days, you might have just accidentally.
No.
No?
I mean, if I did, I don't remember.
I have a friend who I did it with in like 7th grade.
People, 7th grade.
People don't confuse alcoholism and like partying. And
it's not
the same thing.
Oh, that's true.
I don't have any like cool stories from when I was a fucking awful drunk.
Right, you just blacked out and would
drove my car.
Occasionally
around.
You do something cool, but it would be like by accident, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like with Even with this girl, that's the power of being a beautiful woman, is I remember I text her afterwards and I was like, if you want to do that again, but just us, you know, yeah. Let me know. And she's like, nah, not really. Just, you know, just with the guy. And I was like, all right, well, I don't know why you thought I would be yeah. into that.
Yeah,
like,
what that's about not something you
just, like, can you imagine if I fucking did that to her?
Oh my God.
If I just, that's you rape. Know, if I just had a yeah. dude come
she
in.
She would have a $1 million blogging career. What if that was Sadie Doyle? Have you ever seen Sadie Doyle?
Dude, I'm like the guy that brought her to popularity. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But you know what she looks like?
No, I don't.
Yeah. That was
maybe
Sadie.
It was her.
We went to Sadie's apartment, dude.
It was Sadie, man.
That's what happened.
Sadie's that was, a hot Asian.
That was the Tiger beatdown.
She, yeah.
Sadie's having a meltdown.
Oh,
yeah,
she?
About what?
That's the one benefit of Trump winning is that you get to just go read Sadie's feed and...
Oh, yeah. What's she got going now these days?
The same shit.
Yeah.
Know? I mean, you can...
That's the problem is that now. People like that focus their energy on me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's
yeah,
bigger
yeah.
problems out there yeah, than yeah, Joe.
Well, she had a 24-hour meltdown because I've never interacted with her once, ever.
Yeah.
And then one time she made some dumb statement about, I think it was like Bernie Bros or something or whatever, and I just responded with a picture of Dr. Evil, and then it just said, right. I was having like an Austin Powers renaissance that week.
That was so
like,
funny.
Every few years you have to.
Well, it became very funny to me again to make Austin Powers references.
Sure.
You know, in the same way that like Borat references were ironically funny.
Yes. Like, but Austin Powers even funnier than
oh,
that.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, baby. To like say that, especially if you can do it like at work. If you're at work and you can just annoy someone all day with yeah. Austin Powers references, and then they'll go, "Yeah, man." And then they go home and he's like, "You won't fucking shut up about Austin Powers." And this guy beating his wife because I kept saying "Mojo."
Have you heard?
That's
have
the
you
funniest
heard,
shit in the world.
Have you heard Colin Quinn's story about how he turned down Austin Powers?
No.
Here's his whole story.
Was he supposed to be
he
Austin Powers?
He was supposed to be Scott. He was supposed to be.
Really?
He was supposed
what
to be Seth
fuck?
Green.
What?
Dude, it sounds crazy, but. Here's why he would have been amazing at it. There's an episode of Larry Sanders where he plays Rip Torn's spoiled son named Cully, and it's every line is like he's like an intern for the Larry Sanders show.
Right,
he's
right,
just
right.
fucking everybody on set.
Oh, yeah.
And Gary Shandling will be like, "Hey, can I get a mango sorbet?" And he's like, "Oh yeah, one homo surprise coming right up." Like he's like a dick, and you see like, "Oh shit, he would." That's why Mike Myers was probably like, "You have to do this." And I
right.
guess Colin just tells him, "I got my own shit I'm working on," so
right.
you know.
Was
so we
it,
turned it down.
Wasn't he too old to play his
But that's
son?
Part of the humor
oh, right,
of it is
right,
that
right.
he's like kind of...
That makes sense.
He's almost too old to be the son, but he
sense.
Is the
yeah,
son.
Yeah, yeah. I get that. Fuck, that's so funny.
So you were saying the Sadie Doyle story.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. So I tweeted that right thing at her that one time. I've told this story already. I mean,
oh, yeah,
the
yeah,
fans of the
true.
Show are familiar with it. I guess so. Yeah, she spent the next like 24 hours like tweeting at me like, "I know you're fucking friends with Kurt Metzger," you know, and then it was
right.
about Kurt and then about how like, you know, Kurt's a rapist and he's literally murdered, you know, I don't know if you know this, but Kurt murdered 37 women.
Right. I've heard. I can't believe he still gets work.
Yeah, yeah. So she's going off about Kurt and then she's like tweeting at Amy Schumer because of me. Tweeting that one picture. It's like
I'm pretty yeah, sure Amy does not check her Twitter anymore.
Amy doesn't know who the
she's
fuck
got some
I
shit.
Am.
Amy's got some shit going on. I don't know
yeah,
if she's
yeah,
heard
yeah.
about it.
Yeah.
But
I've never even met Amy. Amy doesn't yeah. know who I am. So and then, you know, everyone's like making fun of Sadie for having a problem with me because like I've never interacted with her beyond that like right thing. And I just keep posting that picture of Dr. Evil over and over again. and she just went for 48 hours. Just went nuts.
The thing is like, yeah, she did a thing. She is a there's like a type of blogger that is just fueled by anger rather like that's their form of being entertained and it's not fact. Like she just wanted to bait me. I remember she emailed me originally and was like, "Hey, I saw you at the Comedy Cellar and your act really stood out. I'd love to interview you sometime." And I was like on the road. I was like, "Oh yeah, sure. Why not?" And she wrote back a couple days later like pages of rape statistics because I told a rape joke.
Oh my God.
And I was like, "Oh, this doesn't sound like an interview."
Yeah, yeah.
It sounds like something else.
Yeah.
And then I just sent it to my manager and she was like, "Oh, you got to send all interviews through me." I was like, "Well, I don't think this is what most interviewers
right.
are
you,
like."
Do you like talk to your manager with that kind of stuff?
Well, I had a different manager at the time and I was kind of, this was a few years ago and I was kind of like, yeah, I don't,
I talk to my manager like once every 6 months, and they're like, "What are you working on?" I'm like, "Nothing." They're like, "All right."
Well, you should. They work for you. You got to hit them up.
Yeah,
I talk to my guy.
They're
a
good.
Lot.
They've done stuff for me, but yeah. You know, I guess I don't really know what market there is for a cum podcast outside of the one we've already created.
I think you guys are onto something. Man.
We're doing all right.
You guys got a good dynamic.
Everybody listening to this is a premium subscriber, so you have free admittance to Sam's show tonight. If you want.
Come down to the big hunt.
I wasn't serious about that.
Yeah. About what?
But they get in the show for free. Oh. You look
come
nervous
to the big
for
hunt.
A second.
Oh, no.
At 7:30
I care less.
Yeah. 10,
come free.
10
p.m.
I don't care.
Yeah. But what?
The joke is this won't go up until tomorrow, so there's no way they can get in.
It's going to go
they
tomorrow or today?
I don't have. I got to fuck. What? Where am I going to edit and upload?
Oh, you're right.
Dude.
You're right.
You know, yeah, the Sadie Doyle thing was hilarious, though, because she really just... I remember when she posted that article about me, I just woke up to, like, angry tweets, like, "I hope you die," and I was like, well, this is a different Sunday morning. You
know? Yeah.
And then I saw, I was like, oh, she took my joke not only out of context, but she omitted the punchline.
Yeah.
Which I'm like, ooh, that's kind of a problem. Yeah. You're just writing a fucked up setup.
Right.
And I remember I sent it. I was like, well, I got to respond to this. And that's when it got traction. I probably could have just let it die and nothing would have happened.
Right.
But like, it got traction when I responded. And it's funny because you see who your friends are in those moments. Because I remember a couple of comics kind of were writing like passive aggressive shit about
really?
Me.
Really?
Yeah. And I was shocked. I was like, oh, I thought I was friends with that guy. That's kind of
weird.
Yeah. And I remember I sent my response to Colin Quinn, and I was like, "Hey, what do you think of this?" And he was like, "How dare she like omit your punchline? This is like a..." Because he's like the most angered by this, of course. You know,
yeah,
he's
yeah,
like
yeah.
he's and he said something like, "You know, this is a great response. Take out this one line; it's pretty gay."
Yeah, yeah. You should have had like an addendum at the end that was like, "I was also going to say this, but Colin Quinn said it was gay."
I should have. Well, I remember,
and that's really the real like you know treat to the Trump thing. As bad as it's going to be, to see people like that, you know, just a little bit more upset than they already were.
Makes
it worth it. Is that spiteful? Absolutely. Yeah. Is it wrong for me to do that? Probably.
Yeah.
Will I do it? Yes.
Just enjoy it, you mean?
Yeah.
Despite all the other damage?
Yeah.
Well, you know, what are you going to do?
That? I'm doing it.
Yeah, you're doing
I'm enjoying it.
You're always going to do it.
Yeah. Oh, I'm going to send Sadie Dr. Evil memes now.
Those were great.
Dr. Evil saying, huge. Huge. It's going to be great, Sadie. It's going to be really good, okay?
It is funny. It seems like Trump's already fucking like what he already said, he might keep some parts of Obamacare.
Oh, yeah. He's not going to repeal Obamacare. I'm going to amend Obamacare. There's a lot of great stuff in there that I really like, you know?
It's awesome that he's just already flip-flopping.
Yeah. Pre-existing conditions are staying in there.
I think, you know, part of me is like, you know, he's a liberal guy at heart, you know? But the other part of me is like, he's just wants to do whatever's going to be good for him. He's a narcissist, you know?
Yeah, who knows what the fuck's in for me. He's got to be mad that Trump TV's not happening, right?
Yeah, well, he had a falling out with Roger Ailes right before.
Right.
I mean, that was going to be the brains behind it.
Right.
It was going to have, which is, by the way, when you have some heat on you for, you know, sexual harassment, maybe don't employ the other guy that's got heat on him for sexual harassment.
They're the Barnum and Bailey's of rape.
You know? Roger Ailes, clearly a fucking terrible person.
Oh, my God, for sure.
A very smart man at making an empire.
The mental image of, like, you know, those, like, aspirational Fox ladies having to, like,
it's awful.
Blow him as if he were the bad guy from the new Mad Max movie. Like they're those sex slaves being milked in the back room, and he's like, "I need a blowjob," you know, like that. It pleases me.
They lived in fear. Everyone lived in fear of him. I remember I was on like a red. It was the last time I did Red Eye, and I was kind of like, "All right, I'm done with the show for a while," because they wouldn't let me make a Roger Ailes joke.
They wouldn't let me make a John McCain joke, and it was pro John McCain. It was just about how he can't raise his arms up because he's you know a fucking POW.
I mean, and that is a fun premise to joke on. I mean, but look, John, and also, that's the thing about it. It's like, we're here, you're not paying us when we do that show, Red Eye.
Yeah.
I get to say whatever the fuck I want. That's my rule.
Yeah.
You know? And so once they start doing that, I'm like, all right, I'm going to take a break for a while.
Yeah. Please don't let the fans know that I'm not paid to do Red Eye. They think I make $1 million an episode. We can't ruin this illusion that I live on the top of the Empire
State. Tom Shalhoub makes more than Fallon right now.
Well, what if, how funny would it be if they didn't pay Tom Shalhoub? He just does a show for free
every day.
We'll send you a car. We'll send you a car and you get some stale cookies in the green room.
I fucking went there one time. You come out and you don't see Tom in the green room, or sometimes you do. And I go out there and he's like, "Hey, how's it going?" And he had like not shaved for like a week, and they just painted concealer over his beard.
Really?
So he just had this like thick makeup all over his like shit, like as much growth as I have right now. They just painted over it.
Why would he just shave? What the fuck?
I don't know. That's it was so, stupid. Funny. Yeah.
That is so weird. Just clown makeup.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, fuck.
Fucking Red Eye.
I want to go on Red Eye.
I asked Christine if I could do, I was like, "Hey, do you think I could do like Kennedy or the Gutfeld show?" You know, because like, fuck it. Why not, you know, get as much exposure as I can?
Sure.
You know,
if yeah, Gutfeld's fun. It's got a live crowd, which is fun.
Yeah. And she was like, she's like, "Hey, just about to go on vacation." She was like, "In the interim, I'd suggest like actually watching those shows." You know, yeah. Like, assumed I haven't seen them or whatever. And I was like, "Well, you're right." Yeah. I haven't.
Gutfeld is cool, but
I had to actually Google the Greg Gutfeld show because I didn't know if that was the name of it.
Yeah, Kennedy's cool too. Kennedy is like a stand up fan.
Yeah.
She's cool.
She was like a VJ, right? Isn't that? Yeah. Was she like on MTV?
I just don't. I mean, I'm not a libertarian, so I don't know if I could go on those shows.
I've been on it a million times, and it's the same shit. I just say horrible shit.
Yeah.
They go with it, and they either edit it. It's a real bummer, though, when you're like, "All right, well, I'm not getting paid, so I better get some good jokes."
Oh, they don't
pay
for those ones either.
No. Yeah. And then you go out there, and the joke is too offensive. They're like, "We have to cut that." And then there's just a long segment of everyone talking. You're just sitting there because they cut the one thing you said. Yeah. So I'm like, "So I came for free and now I just look like an asshole."
Yeah.
You just look like a dickhead with nothing to say.
It would be great if you could bring like a big lollipop and the lollipop just changes size all of a sudden. You know, sit there and you say nothing and you're like, and then the lollipop's half the size. Everyone looks tired.
Every once in a while you're on too. It's like someone who just like, I'll like come in with some jokes that are like pre-written.
Yeah.
Like obviously you're going to have some jokes, and I'll like say the setup and someone will be like, "Well, that's not true." And I'm like, "That was a setup to a joke."
Yeah.
Some of us aren't Especially here,
they put you on as fucking nerds. I was on Red Eye with Rich Lowry and whoever the editor in chief of Reason is. And it's like, why am I here?
Yeah.
Especially with that girl, the fucking Nosuchinsky.
Oh, right.
Ugh.
I was on with a guy who was just like some elitist British guy who just did not like what I was doing at all. And every time he's like, "Well, that is very ignorant and not true
at all." Shut up, bitch. Just slap him.
Well, I was on with Father Jonathan the priest once, and he immediately went at me. And I was like, "Are you a pedophile?" And he immediately backed off. I was like, I immediately like went to there and he was like, "Oh, fuck." It's like great because like, "Oh, you need your people." Yeah. And you don't want them to see this. Right. I don't need my people.
Right, right.
That's so funny.
That's crazy that no one gets paid.
It is evil. That's kind of like, look at how successful these networks are, is because they don't pay people. It's fucking evil.
Right. I mean, other networks pay you to do shit though.
I don't know if MSNBC does. I don't think any of them pay. They all bill it as an interview.
Yeah,
so it's like,
that's such horseshit.
Yeah,
you're so clearly doing work.
That's why I plug everything when I'm on there. I'm like, "Plug this, plug that, plug."
Asked me, they were like, "What do you want to plug?" And I was like, "My podcast, Come Down." They're like, "We can't say that." And I was like, "All right, well." But I never prepare. I stopped dressing nice for those too. Last time I went, I had like a big hole in the crotch of my pants. I wear like a shitty hoodie with a cum on it.
You're gonna promote the podcast one way or another.
Yeah. Just shine a black light on your hoodie. You've written come down in jizz. Can we hit the lights, please, Greg?
Yeah,
they're, you know, that's the thing. Is like, I usually have fun when I go in there, but it's like, I usually spend the day writing jokes for a free show that airs at 3 a.m.
Right.
Although you know what's weird is like, I've done a bunch of them, so occasionally I'd be in like Arizona and someone would be like, "Oh, I love Red Eye." Because it airs at midnight there. They actually watch.
Yeah, I got that in Texas. When I was in Texas, people coming up and saying that they were fans of Red Eye. But even if it comes on at midnight, why would you watch that show?
Yeah, there's a, you,
the only people I know that watch that show like the are the comics that were on it, and only the times they were on it.
And yeah, bartenders. Yeah,
yeah. I have no idea. Like Scott Chaplin will share his clips from Red Eye, and it's like, Scott, no one's going to watch them.
I watch them. I get a kick out of it.
Dude, I mean,
he's
Scott's
pretty funny on it.
Yeah. Scott's funny. That one he posted where he was on with that fucking fat egghead, where Scott's like, yeah, no, but Hillary's people were saying that the whole time. He's like, no, that's absolutely incorrect. Yeah, it's just Scott sitting there like,
just completely upset. Proven wrong. Just wrong. Just should not have spoken. Yeah, that's fucking, I haven't done any of those because it's like, I don't want to fucking learn anything.
You don't have to learn anything. If the Fox women don't have to learn anything.
They want to, yeah, they just look beautiful.
Joanne doesn't know what the fuck she's talking about. And they make me sit next to her. And one time she's sitting there and she's like, you know, I feel like CPAC is like a wolf pack, and a wolf pack needs its leader.
Oh, God.
And she says that, and I'm like,
just lift up your leg and fart.
Boo.
I kind of, next time if I go on with her, I want to do that. Just bully her.
Yeah.
Just make like air horn sound effects. Just while trying to
obviously
speak.
Like I've been on enough where I've done that to her, and it doesn't, you just kind of feel bad because she is so nice.
Yeah.
Like I've definitely had her like flop a joke, and I'll just jump right on it and start slamming, and then I'm just like, ah, shit.
Yeah.
She's just nice.
Is she nice though? She's like a rich person that made money off like beauty pageants, and now
really,
yeah. Now, I really don't understand why she's on TV.
Well, she left Red Eye.
Yeah,
she's pursuing acting, I think.
Oh man, hilarious.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I just got an audition in the mail for Two Broke Girls, so things are going pretty well for me, too. An
audition in the mail?
No, email. Which I'm just like, oh, man, can I even... I was reading the dialogue, and I'm like, I don't even know if I can... This is the worst show I've ever read.
It's just the N-word four times in a row.
And every once in a while, you get like, I'm like a terrible actor, but I'll read something. I'm like, I could do this. It's just me.
Yeah.
You know? But then you get one, and you're just like, well, no one fucking... It's like that Friends dialogue where you're like, this is a bad idea.
Yeah.
Like no one.
Right.
If you find this funny, I don't want to make. Yeah. I don't want to bring you joy.
There was a show on Country Music Television called Working Class, and I got sent the sides and the script for it to audition for it when it like before you know it was produced. And I remember I was like 21 when I got it, and I remember reading it and being like, "This is such dog shit." It was like filled with typos and stuff. And like the joke, the show opens where they're in like a grocery store and they're checking out, and like they get to the, and they have to like take items out of the cart because they don't have enough money. And then she's like, okay, well, we got to save $10.37. Piece of cake. Oh, a piece of cake. And she removes a piece of cake.
Oh, no.
They're like, did you steal this from a popsicle stick?
Jesus Christ.
Who wrote these jokes?
Piece of cake. Ooh, piece of cake.
Yeah, ooh, a piece of cake. There's the answer. Easy peasy. Oh, here's some peas. it's like the joke is the show opens and then we just jingle our keys at the camera as if we're trying to entertain a baby.
Well, the painful thing is when you go to the audition and they're like giving you notes and they're just like, we got to say it. Like, and I'm like, no, I mean, I'm mocking your dialogue.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's bad dialogue. So I'm mocking it.
Do you have any TV shows you're on now you want to plug?
I'm on Conan December 5th.
Sweet.
Got a fun, I like the set. And then at midnight the next night. So
December 5th, 2 days before the both the John Lennon and the Dimebag Darrell murder anniversary. No, wait, hold on, sorry. Dimebag Darrell and Pearl Harbor. When did Lennon die?
Two equally tragic events.
Wait, same day, right? Wasn't Lennon also Pearl Harbor?
I'm not sure.
It's Pearl Harbor, no Dimebag Darrell. Fuck, now I'm going to get a million. The thing is, I can't say anything on this podcast where I'm like, what was it again? Because I always fuck up whatever fact it is. And then I get a million people to DM me, and they're like, oh, well, actually.
Oh, also, I have a podcast that is probably going to come out in a few weeks called Keeping Joe with, it's me, Joe Mackey, and Phil Hanley, and Joe, it's called Keeping Joe because he doesn't want to do it, so it might only last like two episodes. He said he'll give us like five or six probably.
Hell yeah.
So dude, it might be a five or six episode thing, but it's going to be fun because Mackey is he's a fucking odd duck, and Sam's
one of the funniest dudes. If you don't know stand up check him out.
Thanks, man.
We're at the DC, we're at the Big Hunt in DC this weekend, so if you have a time machine and can come. Yesterday,
have you done any DC stuff while you're here? Have you done any of the tourist shit?
Nah, I mean, I've been here a bunch. I've done it all. You know, we were Draft House 5 months
ago. Yeah, pretty.
Air and Space Museum. America's favorite museum.
It is cool.
When the shutdown happened, that's how the local news was covering it. They're like, we're here outside of the Air and Space Museum, everyone's favorite museum.
Because it's the least gay one. Yeah, it's got some cool shit from space. Because you
can touch the exhibits. Yeah. But you don't have to be quiet in the Air and Space Museum.
I want to go to the creation as a museum. I haven't been there.
But so many comics go there, and that's like such like the bit to go to the creation.
Well, I'm not going
to
do a bit about it. I just want to see it. I know Marin has a bit about it. But apparently they charge like $60 to get in because they know that people go there to mock
just to
it.
Troll.
Yeah, yeah.
So
damn, I don't want to pay them. I don't want
to
pay $60.
There's no actual fun museum to go to. There's never a museum I've been to that charges admission where I'm like, this is fucking great.
Yeah, I usually go out of a sense of guilt because my mom's an artist, so I'll go to like MoMA with her or something. But I will. Yeah, it's usually
right. What kind of art does your mom do?
It's abstract and painting. They're really good.
Are you one of her projects? Burn. Yes. That's just like we had Adam here.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. What kind of art? I guess we have like 5 more minutes to kill. Sorry.
This is like when you say goodbye to someone and then you're like, oh, I'm going that way.
Yeah, you have to walk. And then you take the train.
I'm sorry, we can end it now. It doesn't matter. I mean,
How long was the episode?
We're about 55 minutes.
It was a good
episode. You know what? We're at an hour. So fuck you guys. Sam, thanks for coming on.
Yeah. Oh, and buy my album. It's called Class Act. It's on iTunes.
It's a great album.
Buy his album. Yeah, thanks guys.
Oh, we got a live show coming up too.
No, we don't.
Yeah, we do.
When?
The Monday after Thanksgiving.
Do you know the date?
At Come On Everybody.
Do you know the fucking date?
No, I don't fucking... They can put it together.
Shut the fuck up, dude.
Monday after Thanksgiving at Come On Everybody. That's the actual name of the bar. People have asked me at shows. They're like, all right, but you guys say Come On Everybody and it's clearly some kind of jizz joke. It's like, no, that's what the bar's called, everyone. It's in Crown Heights.
Actually in Bed-Stuy. Bed-Stuy. Do or Die. Yeah, that's right. That's my neighborhood. I've been living there 2.5 months. Old school, original Bed-Stuy.
I walk home.
If it's dark out, November you better 20th, believe you, I'm walking home quickly. I never have headphones in. I'm scared. Always scared. I've been scared my entire life. Bed-Stuy.
Well, not anymore.
Not anymore, because I'm tough now.
Thanks to Donnie.
Yeah.
Donnie Casino.
I wear my Make America Great Again hat, and it's like a fucking helmet.
You would get so fucked up if you wore that in your neighborhood. Yeah. You would immediately get robbed.
You know, I kind of want to do a BuzzFeed video where I put a Make America Great Again hat on a guy with Down syndrome and then send him through one of the protests.
And it's like Die Hard 3.
Yeah. But it's like, you know, this makes you think, doesn't it? And people are like, no, not really. Yeah. And I'm like, BuzzFeed comedy.
To frame it as comedy would be the best. Because it's just you pulling a cruel prank on a retarded person.
BuzzFeed comedy. All right, thanks, guys. Goodbye.